Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Just don't see him very often. Like Gigi and Goes were saying, running, dodging BMWs, dodging golden retrievers. Not that I live here, because I live in San Francisco. And also, by the way, coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Sacramento, California, we have MMA writer and MMA savant, Dave Madden.
What's up, Tony? How's it going? Savant, thank you. I'd be happy just with Junkie, but yeah, man, thanks for the intro, and I'm stoked to be here, man.
And obviously Dave is a tremendous writer, blogger. If you read his stuff, it's really pretty awesome. Follow him at D Madden. Any relation to the great John?
No, I get that from the men, John Madden, and then women, it's always Steve Madden. So, but no, neither one, or I'd have a lot more time to sit and write.
All right, Junkie Nation. So, no, we can't get any free EA games, and no, we can't get any free shoes. So, Madden MMA, at D Madden MMA. A lot to talk about. Let's go a little bit into your well, you know what, before we go into your bio, I do want to actually discuss a few things. By the way, I do want to say sincere thanks to Junkie Nation and all the positive feedback that we've received. You know, it's never easy making any changes, and frankly, changes that we didn't want to make. You know, I think in any conversation, in any relationship, things get heated. But, you know, I hold no ill will towards Joe from H-Town. I think Joe's a great guy, and the door is always open to Joe. If I've reached out to him several times without actually getting a response back. But, obviously, the door's open, Joe. If you want to chat, we can chat. And, frankly, you know, the show's still there for you. Proteus will not be on today. He had a previous commitment. Think about things, and that's fair. And we certainly miss Proteus, my buddy. So hopefully he's back on. And just Junkie Nation in general, I want to thank you. I mean, you've embraced us. You've allowed me to be in the family. I am eternally grateful, and I will do my best to continue to bring you content. There was never a question on whether or not AMP Radio would continue. It was just who continues with AMP Radio. So there, that said, Junkie Nation, we love you. Joe from H-Town, we miss you. And Proteus, hope to have you back on. Dave, let's go a little about you, into your background, actually.
You know what? Just on a Junkie Nation note, you know, I never posted on Facebook. I never called into the show. I'm always a day behind listening to the show, and the Rick Budo thing, you know, I was like so many of the callers where I didn't ever talk to him. I didn't ever communicate with him, you know, one-on-one at all. But just listening to him call in, it was one of those, you get that personality, you learn their personality in a sense when they call in. And, you know, just anyways, I just like everyone else, man, it was like it hit you. And The tribute at the end of one of the shows that they had the video for, and you know, totally touching and powerful, and just anyway, so that's kind of a different tribute and touch on with Junkie Nation, but I just wanted to get that out there, having a platform with Junkie Nation, because otherwise I don't know when I would have, and I guess I could have on Facebook, but anyways, I'm here now with it, and I wanted to do that.
You know, Dave, that's a funny thing about, you know, and Joe used to bring this up all the time. You know, I'm barely new to Junkie Nation, about 2 years in roughly. But, you know, the one thing that you know, Joe used to bring up all the time, which is true, this is a family. You know, Junkie Nation, I think, is the only show probably on the planet. Dave, that has this following, and it's almost a cult-like following in a good way, but it really is this following, right? And we're a family. We root for each other. We may bicker sometimes, but it's a family nonetheless. And yeah, just to echo that, Dave, Goza's production, and shout out to Danny, right? Danny Oakers of Danny.
Yeah,
Automatic 253, Dave. But... their production value is incredible. It really is. So yeah, I still have a hard time. And you know, listen, I've never met Budo, never had a chance to chat with them. He called into our first show, and we didn't know how to use the boards. We didn't pick it up in time. But you miss that there's a void that needs to be filled, and I don't know who can fill it, because he was a closer. He was a Mariano Rivera. And, yeah, it's still sorely missed, I think. And I won't even try, Dave, to do the hey, GG, and the Uncle Fester and all these other things. But, yeah, it's a void that still isn't there. Dave, let's talk a little bit about you, because you're a junkie. You've been featured on the show live. Your bio says elementary school by day, enthusiast by night. Let's talk about your journey. How'd you get into MMA?
Well, I was aware of it since the day one of it. I didn't watch the pay-per-view in November of 93, but I was well aware of like what was going on. I was in high school. I never was interested in participating at all, but I just always kind of watched it and watched it and watched it. And then, you know, you get older, you watch more, you know the sport's bigger, but it's still not a sport. And, you know, anyways, you watch, and the UFC's growing. And so, anyways, I've just been following the sport, I feel like, since its inception. And, you know, the junkie touch, the show caught my attention, and I don't remember how. And then they would talk about, you know, this thing on Twitter and this thing on Facebook. And I didn't have social media up in a year and a half ago. I started the social media stuff. I never had it before then.
Wow.
And and I never needed it, I felt. And so I would listen to the show and, like, you know, read UFC.com stuff, read Junkie Nation kind of Junkie Nation articles, or and just feel like after a while I realized, you know, all the articles seem the same. Not so much the junkie ones, but I think hearing, I jumped ahead a little. So hearing about the Twitter and stuff, I thought, you know, I'm gonna just get one, you know, and try it out and see. And I realized, whoa, there's a lot out here. And then I thought these articles are all like the same as I was seeing on Junkie, right? So all I read was Junkie and UFC.com. And then I realized all these other articles were just the same. And I just thought, I just wanted to try, you know, just see, how do you get published on a site, you know? And like you said, I'm a teacher, and it's funny that we bark at the kids to do this and do that. And you know, when are we publishing as writers, I guess? And so that was really interesting to me to then go try it. I was never intrigued to publish anything before. I write, I'd practice on my own, but I never felt like I wanted to publish something. So I found a site that let me publish on there. And it just, I was hooked in that sense, and it took MMA fandom to this whole other level. So I feel like I've been on PEDs with MMA for about a year and a half now, and it's just fun to write about whatever's happening, local events, local fighters. I'm more interested in the local scene. I feel like the UFC, even Bellator, they have tons of coverage, and guys like I was just at a show last night called Global Knockout, and how many of those guys had an article written about them or had them on a podcast or so I just felt like I live in Northern California. I feel there's superstars on every corner around here, and it's interesting to watch it grow and see it from the inside out versus just the outside in. And it's been a blast, man. So I feel like that's kind of where how I got deeper into the MMA. But I've always been there, I feel.
So talk to me a little bit about you actually do a lot of the hustling just like I do. You obviously day job and trying to hustle to be part of, cover sports. And like you said, the local sports. For me, I've never been to a UFC event. I've been to Strikeforce events, Bellator, local events here, RFA. But yeah, I've never been to a UFC event. So tell me, how'd you get involved with Global Knockout? Because you told me about that. I started following. You have some good local stars out there that their story hasn't been seen. For example, out of I think the 925, she's listed in Pleasanton, California, but Brooke Mayo, right? Someone that's a really talented fighter. How'd you find Global Knockout?
Well, tapping into the social media, all of a sudden you start seeing, shows like Global Knockout, West Coast Fighting, NorCal Fight Series. I mean, all these local events, Conquer Fighting. I think you were out at the Conquer Fighting show.
I was, yeah.
And, yeah, and I mean, you just start seeing all these events. And so contributing to sites like MMA Latest News or MMA Wreckage. And my favorite thing after saying those sites is always people go, who? But because who are the top dogs, right? It's Junkie and it's Sure Dog and it's, all those names. But, they let me contribute and I just have a blast doing it. But, and they get me media credentials. Well, initially the first round of each event, hey, West Coast, I write for this site, can I get media credentials? And they would let me in. Well, then after that, I just would message them and say, hey, I can come to this next show, right? And so it just created this thing where now I can get in. I don't have to go through any more third people. It's just I can say, hey, can I? Do you have a seat for me? Can I come? And they've said yes every time. So Global Knockout was the same thing where, this show I discover that's in the area. It's about an hour from me, but, in the area. And again, just message them and say, hey, can I come out? Joe Cortez, he's the he works for the casino, but he also is then in charge of Global Knockout. So that's got to be quite the stressful job. I'm not envious of that guy. But, yeah, he does a great job putting the show together and matchmaking. And, yeah, last night he put together some awesome fights. And it's just a blast to go out. And I get to put together a couple little articles and I get to sit, media row or cage side or Global Knockout puts you at a table kind of a little farther back than I'm used to. But, those shows that put you cage side, it's just a blast to be there. And even last night it was an outdoor venue and just the atmosphere, it was a blast. So that's how I got tied to Global Knockout, but then all the other shows around the area. That's just how I do it, and I get to go to all of them, and just take it in like a fan, and just tweet out like updates, and that's it. So it's a fun. It's like the coolest hobby in the world, I think.
Without a doubt, right? So let me ask you this: Stitch Duran was there, and at every event, whether it's I don't know if I saw anyone at Conquer. By the way, beautiful venue, right, for Conquer Fighting in Richmond.
Oh.
Out,
man.
Beautiful venue. I'm surprised, frankly, that RFA and some of the others, for example, I think Invicta, would really do well in that venue, right? It's such a beautiful venue. But Stitch Duran was obviously there at Global Knockout. Anyone else that you saw? I mean, Team Alpha Male's right there. MMA Gold is right there. Who else did you see in the show?
Oh, there were superstars at every corner. I mean, Herb Dean doing the refereeing. Thank God he had a shirt on that said referee. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known what he's doing. Andre Feely, you know, he saw him passing by. Faber was there. Like you said, Team Alpha Male, they had like six people on the card, maybe five. They had a lot of guys and girls, women. Max Griffin, who just recently debuted in the UFC, he did drop his fight, but he was there. And I just start rattling off a bunch of local guys. It's just packed, and people just walking all over the place. Just fighters who get done, you know, they're then in the crowd and walking around, and you know, standing right behind me, you know, this guy who just, his name's Danny Ramirez, and he fought a guy named Chuck Thang out of Stockton. That fight was fun, not only because of the back and forth, but you also got from the crowd a huge, give him a Stockton slap. Not all right. Here we go. But, he gets done. His nose is broken. He's busted up, and fight of the night. And, you know, he's just walking around behind me, and it was just awesome to say what's up to him and tell him great fight. And, you know, it's just, when do you get that close to I don't know if the Bay Area has a minor league team. I feel like they do, but we have the Rivercats, and, you know, even getting that close. Even getting that close to a Rivercat, you know, it's not that likely, you know, it's pretty silly. So anyways, it's amazing to be involved in the sport like that. So, that was a blast. Yeah.
What everyone wants to hear, Dave, when we go to these events, like at RFA, and we were chatting with, you know, some of the junkies, you know, they want to know, who do you see with the potential to go into the UFC? For me, I think Brooke Mayo would be, to me, someone that has potential, definitely Invicta, you know, if not Bellator, because she seems to fit that Bellator mode, right, or that Bellator stereotype, I guess. I hate to say it. I mean, I don't know how to say it, but she is an attractive fighter, and seems like Bellator tends to go that route. She's actually an outstanding fighter. Who do you see with the potential to move, you know, to the UFC or Bellator, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, Brooke is, she's like her name, the bully, you know, she's so tough. And she even, in between MMA fights, she goes and does Muay Thai, and she seems to really try to stay active. So, yeah, that's a great pick. The guys in the main event, you know, like there were no titles on the line in this one. But the main event, you know, they did great. I don't know UFC, you know, but the co-main event, this one guy, Bobby Nash, he was given the knockout. It was one of those, he caught his opponent Gonzalez, dropped him. Lewis started wrestling back right away. The ref jumped in and stopped it like really fast. It was Rosenthal, actually. He stopped it so fast. And it felt like almost like, is this Amy's? You know, give him a chance. But Nash did an awesome job. He did a great job, and he's on like a 6-fight win streak. He looked tough and awesome. Again, I don't know UFC, maybe Bellator for sure. You know, he definitely seems like he needs to be tested at a next level. Sam Toomer, he was in the featured slot with Adrian Diaz, the Team Alpha Male guy. Man, those two went back and forth. Diaz is the Tachi Palace champion at featherweight. And, you know, they just went back and forth. Sam Toomer, he fought in RFA, lost to Justin Lawrence for the featherweight belt. And 10-1 because he beat Diaz in a unanimous decision. Super talented because he's super Sam Toomer, I guess. But, he did a great job. And A couple of my favorites who, you know, they just, I think, need to build up the record in the area. They're, I mean, I just feel like they're going to be top names. Undefeated. One is Tyler Diamond. He's out of Team Alpha Male. He fought a tough kid out of Hawaii and won the unanimous decision. And they had the largest moth I've ever seen fly into the cage. And I don't know how they fought around that thing, but outdoor MMA at its finest. Diamond, man, he's so tough and so just dynamic, fun to watch. And I think people need to keep an eye on him soon. And then out of MMA Gold is Anthony Hernandez. He's known as Fluffy. And the guys, he hits hard as hell. So there's nothing soft about that guy. But, yeah, he won by guillotine. He's 4-0 now. And definitely another one to keep your eye on. So, yeah, this card was stacked with people who, you know, I don't know UFC, but you know, definitely maybe need to be tested and those prospects on the rise.
Hey Dave, how did Jessica Sanchez and Cynthia Calvillo? How was that?
Yeah,
because I know Cynthia Calvillo was making her pro debut, right? And I think Jessica Sanchez only has a couple of fights under her belt.
Yeah, Calvillo, like you said, she was debuting as a pro, and she came out and just looked so not even nervous. I think she's had a long layoff too, and so she looked so excited to be in there. And she didn't have that. I think it was at flyweight. See, this promotion's frustrating because they don't tell you. I knew what weights, you know, some of them are by looking it up, but in local MMA, things are different every flip of the page. So, anyways, they don't announce the weight. They don't announce the time finishes happen. They don't announce the finish. It's just kind of, they don't read scorecards. So it's just kind of frustrating, the local MMA scene sometimes. But I think they fought at flyweight. And, you know, you see those ladies like Paige Van Zandt win, you know, I mean, just that fiery, crushing win. You know, I mean, Calvillo obviously has a ton of skills, and she just wound up taking this girl down and just punishing her. And but it wasn't with like that huge power and fierceness, and you know, but she dominated for sure. And she won a TKO in the second, and I'm sure she has all the potential in the world. She just doesn't seem to have all the power I expected her to have. But, yeah, maybe that comes in time.
So I don't envy you. You were covering GKO last night. And I'm assuming, did you stay at some sort of after party? Because it looks, you know, looking at through your photos and, again, following him at D Madden, like John Madden and Steve Madden, MMA. So Steve, M-A-D-D-E-N, MMA. How'd that go for you? I mean, being up and then, I guess, going home and then watching UFC, because you didn't get a chance to watch it firsthand.
No, I didn't. And so the drive to Jackson from where I live, it's a beautiful drive during the daytime. You know, back road, looks like farmland kind of looking. It's a beautiful drive. Coming home at 2 a.m, it's scary as hell. And so, you know, I was driving home, and I, along with just kind of covering the local scene, I, like you were talking about hustling earlier, I would do the same thing, you know, in terms of like, who do I want to talk to and who do I want to go interview, or, and I would go set up all my own interviews and all this stuff. I would interview a lot of the MMA Gold team. And eventually the team's manager wound up asking me, you know, hey, when you're interviewing fighters locally, or if you're putting things out about the local guys, you know, what about just working with us exclusively? Because like I said, you know, how many of the guys on, or women on GKO's card last night had an article about them, or really anything, you know, more than what they put out on their social media. So, you know, anyways, I thought, well, I didn't that seems so different to me, you know, of like covering one team, but it felt like how cool I'd be on the team. You know what I mean? So I went ahead and said, okay. And then they set up a blog for me, MMA Gold blog. And it's connected also with their site, MMAGold.com. And anyways, I just put out a lot of articles about those guys, and they have a ton of stars. And so the after party that I posted pictures of was for two of the winners from the team showed up to this place called Relish Burger Bar. It's in El Dorado Hills, and that's where the team's based out of. And it was right on the way home. And so to treat myself after making it through the winds and curves, I just thought, you know, I'm going to stop by and just say hi and tell them congratulations. And so I just popped by for a minute and watched them down a few drinks that they deserved. You know, Anthony Hernandez, he won the submission of the night. And Sam Toomer, he wound up taking home fight of the night. So anyways, yeah, like I said, I just wanted to pop by and tell them congratulations. And you know, it's funny to be 37 and, you know, I haven't been on a team in forever, you know. I mean, I can't even, I mean, high school maybe, I don't know. But anyways, it's just cool that, like, oh, I'm on the team and I don't have to get my head punched in at all for it. So anyways, yeah, so that's what that was. And they did an awesome job. And it was kind of funny when I showed up. Sam was just walking in too, and Fluffy had taken off before the bonuses had been passed out. So at that point, he had found out he got the bonus. And he's like, well, how much, man? And he starts messaging the Joe Cortez about, like, hey, how much do I get? How much? I don't even know how much it gets, how much they got. I don't know. I know some people think it's like, oh, ask about money. But when you ask me about money, I think it's kind of rude. But
I agree.
So I didn't ask them. I guess I could, they wouldn't have cared, but I didn't ask. And so anyways, it was kind of funny to hear him, like, just, well, he was drunk. I think he was so wasted. He was just partying so hard. But yeah, he was so excited to get that bonus. And he's a recent father of a newborn too. So anyways, you just feel so happy for him of they did a great job. And, you know, Fluffy, just add on to him a little bit, was he fought at middleweight. And
I can't believe he did Fluffy Day fights. I still can't believe that. Go ahead.
Well, you'll believe it when you find out that before he was scheduled to fight at GKO7, he weighed in at 250 pounds. He lost 70 over the last, I mean, I think a few months. You know, I mean, he just, the guy's been putting in work and disappearing. So, you know, just, it's awesome. Good for him and good for the team. And just, you know, all the fighters on that card, you know, they did an awesome job. But yeah, that was the post-fight party, and I didn't stick around for too long, and I still had a bit of a drive ahead of me from El Dorado. So I didn't get to party with them, but it was just fun to visit for sure.
How do you, you know, the question is this, because you're a fan too, like I am, right? And how do you, you know, being, of course, we've been able to get be credentialed, obviously, as well in a few spots, not the UFC yet. So I'm still hoping that we'll get a chance to do that. Even if we have to do it in Spanish, I'm still hoping that we get a chance to do that. Maybe we get an opportunity to do that in the Sacramento card, which I'm attending for sure as a fan, but hopefully we'll get to do it as media. There's a fine line, right, Dave, between being a fan, right, fanboying out when you see, like, Stitch, right, and when you see, you know, Faber, right? I don't know what the line is, to be frank.
Yeah, you know what? When I went on to Junkie Radio and George called me up to the table, which made my whole summer, can I just say that? when he introduces me, you know, he's so kind of, like, you know, call me a journalist. And, you know, people have, like, you know, they call me a journalist. And I see why, because I'm out, you know, covering. I have my quotes up. I know that doesn't come through on radio. But I realize what I'm doing seems like a journalist, but I really don't feel like a journalist. I feel like journalists would go and try to grab Faber and, you know, hey, can I maybe get a minute with you? Or I really try to just not bug them, you know? And I think Frank Mir, and I mean, many others have said it best, but Frank Mir recently stands out as saying, you know, just they're normal. And, you know, if you're standing right next to them, like Andre Feely, he walks right by me. He recognizes me from being at all these events recently. And I have visited, you know, the Team Alpha Male gym in the past. And so anyways, hey, what's up, man? I mean, you just say hi. And they're so nice and they're so, you know, right there in front of you. They're just normal. And but they're there also to happily engage. You know, Stitch is the first one to give smiles to everybody. And Herb Dean, same thing. I mean, the guy is just all over the crowd when there's not a fight happening and, you know, taking pictures. And same with all the Alpha Male guys. They're all over. They've probably taken the same picture with the same kid or same guy 30 times. And they're doing it again because they love their fans. The fans love them. And it's just that two-way street. I'm not going to lie. It's really, 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 really hard to sit at that media table and not – not like let out that emotion,
right.
And seem like, you know, because I write on MMA Gold's blog that, you know, I'm cheering for them more. Yes, I'm very emotionally invested in the team and, I do want them to win, but, yeah, that's hard to not like freak out when Anthony lands his guillotine or, you know, Sam wins that decision or, you know, it's tough for sure. But when I'm sitting at home, man, I rock the walls off with this place. Like you were at RFA 42 and you saw, Steven Gruber fight. He beat Cy Lindsay. And I mean, I was freaking out here. So excited for him. And it was so exciting. So what a win. And so anyways, when I'm in the safety of my home and I don't have to sit at media row or cage side, man, I flip out. But yeah, no, I think that's just part of what I signed up to do, or say like, hey, I'll go cover this event. And it's not impossible by any means. And yeah. So
hold it all inside when you're there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I clap for them, you know, obviously, and I see all the media row at UFC, you know, you see them clap, no big deal, right? But yeah, you can't do that fan thing of at a UFC 200, because that was my first time meeting the Junkies in person and meeting George and Goes in person. And so we went to Sammy's house for UFC 200, and it was fun to be in a big group, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, but I met Jeff Lewis, who, man, that guy is louder than me, and I had to make sure I gave him props because I didn't know how many people were.
He's fantastic.
What's that?
Jeff
What's
from
that?
Santan.
I'm sorry.
Jeff from Santan Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
So yeah, no, he's such an impassioned fan. I mean, all of us are, but he lets it out, man, and he's fun. But yeah, my wife questions like how okay I am as I'm screaming bloody murder here.
Majesty Plumbing will get you on your throne, right? I think is so. Shout out to Jeff from Sandtown Valley. Well, listen, before we bring in Nick, as we're about to bring in Nick from Vancouver, Junkie's very own. Tell me, were you able to watch much of the UFC at all?
Yeah, no, I caught it this morning, and watching UFC on DVR is the way to go. I watched an entire card in like 30 minutes, so
without,
I was able to catch it.
Yeah, lucky you. Well, let's call Nick from Vancouver. We're going to call him right now, so you're going to hear the dialing, and then we'll have Nick from Vancouver. I got to tell you guys, there's no one better. There's no one that uses man better than our guy, Junkie Great, Nick from Vancouver. Nick, welcome to Amp Radio. Nick? Dave, are you still there?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
We can't hear Nick. Nick, let's try to call him back again. We can't hear Nick.
We need Danny with the VX producer.
Yeah, well, doesn't the VX constantly go down? I think the VX is constantly going down. You know what? We may have, I'll tell you, I've been using, you know, this service for quite some time as we're dialing Nick again. And, it's one of the best in terms of being, it's expensive. Nick, can you hear us? Nick!
I can hear you.
Nick from Vancouver.
Live from the West Coast, man. I can hear you.
Nick, yeah, I can't believe you already dropped a man. I love this. Nick, it's DJ Tony, and we have MMA writer and junkie Dave Madden on. So we wanted to hold all the UFC Vancouver chat until you got there because you were live and unedited. And by the way, can I tell you this, Nick? How jealous I am that you were able to take photos with Vanessa Hansen and to me, the lovely Chrissy Blair. Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe it, Matt. I really, really couldn't believe it. It was right there. I couldn't pass up that opportunity. I rarely, if you know anybody that knows me, I rarely ask anybody for pictures. I got a picture with Nate a couple years ago, and that was it. And now I got all four Octagon girls.
And the top four Octagon girls. Hey, Nick, I want to ask you about this because, you know, Dave has been to UFC events and all these various amateur and pro events. I've been to a lot of pro events. I've never been to a UFC event. Tell me, what's that like? Because you've been to a few, right? Quite a few.
I think that was my fifth one, I believe, third one here, and then a couple in Seattle. That was probably right up there with one of the ones in Seattle. That was actually just tremendous. It is literally a traveling circus, a road show, full of entertainment. I don't see any negativity. I don't know what goes on behind in the hallways and stuff like that. But goddamn it, it's so much fun. I can't believe more people don't love that stuff. It is absolutely is genuine. People are genuine. It's absolutely fantastic, all the way from the security to the fighters to the Bruce Buffer, the ring card girls, Mike Goldberg, all those guys. They're all tremendous when you meet them.
See, I would agree. The atmosphere is electric. Tony mentioned that I've been to tons of USC events. Well, actually, I'm just more into the local scene, and the only large event was I went to WEC when Faber fought Pulver in Sacramento, and for me, the atmosphere was there was nothing more fun, but watching from the seat, I just watched the Jumbotron. You know what I mean? So it was like it's like watching football live. It's so amazing on TV, but then you go there and it just becomes this different thing almost. And so I prefer the screen, you know, or being cage side. That's why the local scene appeals to me more for getting cage side and sitting there. But the atmosphere, there's nothing like it. I would agree.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I had really good seats last night, and then one of the cards that went to Seattle. But if you sit too far up, you're better off just going to your local bar if you're into that kind of stuff. I prefer to watch fights by myself. But if you got a decent screen at home, I totally agree with you because you get the graphics. There's no goof beside you like puking and stuff like that happened to me last night. Lucky it was later in the event, you know. I can't stand that shit. But anyways, but I totally agree with you. If you're not close and you got, like, good access, then because the Octagon's so small. If you're too far, it's not like watching football or hockey or basketball. You know, it is only like what were the 30 square feet if they're using the big cage. So totally agree with you there.
Hey Nick, I want to ask you about this because it was held at Rogers Arena. Attendance that stated is 10,500 with a gate a little over a million. What was it packed? Well, what was the crowd like?
Well, this is the thing with Vancouver. It's probably much like West Coast arenas like Los Angeles. It's a walk-up crowd. That was pretty good, considering I think there's, I don't know, maybe one or two local fighters on the card, no big names. Sadly, Rory's no longer with us here. But that was a pretty good card for Vancouver, 10,000. They blew the doors off years ago when they got here. I think it was 2011 when they were supposed to. What was that? I think Tito was supposed to headline with Chuck Liddell. But that one was like, I don't know, like $4.5 million, right? 16, 17, 18,000 people. That was in the height of the MMA. But they kind of ruined it after that. You know, no local stars. They price gouged us. Like, for instance, last night I was, you know, almost cage side, row six, and that ticket cost me $200. $200 5 years ago wouldn't get you in the building. So, you know, like, but it was an early crowd, man. I was surprised. You know, I was walking up to the Fan Fest. There's tons of people there. I was surprised. I was like, shit, man, this might be pretty good. So 10,000 for a Fox card with no big names on it. I would say for Vancouver, it's a step in the right direction. Hopefully they can work on that.
That's cool. Cause then you hear about Canada MMA is, are we still, like you said, we lost Rory and, or the UFC lost Rory and, we don't have GSP, and you know that's cool. It shows it's not, you don't need this one name, and you know, a card with, I mean, there's names on this card, and it was a really fun card. You know, I mean, how cool is that? A Canadian doesn't even have the main event, and you know, you're pulling numbers that you felt were good. You know,
it was pretty good. And in August, on a sunny day in Vancouver, you know, for people to be in that building at 3 o'clock, you know, for the undercard, I was there at 1 o'clock when the doors opened. We lost a couple fights, so they didn't start at 1, they started at 2. But in comparison, I was there at 174 when one of the best fighters in the world, DJ, was fighting. People were walking out, man. So it was a big difference. I don't think anybody's walking. And those final four fights, they delivered, man. Everybody was up, man. It was emotional. It was up and down finishes, six finishes. That makes a big difference when people are getting finished, you know. People love that shit.
Hey, Nick, let's go into the card because I was really excited to – it's always great to chat with someone that's actually there, their experiences, the whole thing. Let's go into, obviously, the Adam Hunter, Ryan James. James fight was canceled at the weigh-ins, I guess, for a potential USADA violation, so we won't go into that. But let's go into the main event, and then we'll talk down
sure.
down the card. Let's go into the main event because what was your take on it? I'm curious to know what Dave's take on it because I was excited for Maya, right? Because you know, I'm as Gigi will point out, Nick, you and I have one foot in the grave, right? We're older guys. And God,
exactly.
For whatever reason, that kind of hurts. I don't know why. But guys, I'm 44 years old and I'm considered an old junkie. But let's talk about this because Maya, 39 years old, not too far off from our ages, guys, versus Condit, who I still think had a lot left. But frankly, I thought Condit's heart wasn't into it, and that's why I chose Maya in our pre-fights. By the way, shout out to Marco from Waco, brother, going 5-0 in his picks. Good Lord.
Wow.
Too bad he doesn't gamble, right? But let's go into Nick. What was your take on Maya Condit?
Well, I'll give you from what I saw on Thursday. I was at the open workouts of Thursday, and Condit, fuck, man, you know, if there's one guy that people just love, that guy's the guy. Then Maya comes out and put, you know, and Condit, you know, he had a nice, like, easy kind of thing. I was like, oh, man, he looks loose, relaxed. Man, he's going to pull it off. Maya comes out half an hour later, does a 30-minute clinic. I was like, holy shit, man. And seriously, I was in awe. So just to give you a little background, my heart goes out to both those guys. I absolutely love those guys for different reasons. And it was a hard fight for me to watch any time that happens. Now, heading into it, I could hear people behind me. Now, I got Condit. I got other people saying Maya. My feeling was it was probably like millions of others. If Maya gets him on the ground the first round, it's pretty well over if he can't survive. And that's what happened. But the crowd, people were like, holy shit. By the time they got started, it was over. And everybody was gutted for Condit. And, you know, you got to feel for a guy like that. You know, he really didn't get to utilize any of his training. And when Maya started crying, man, it's emotional, man. I almost started crying myself because you feel for this guy because you say we're up there in age. You know, it's taken him so long to build up there. It's so hard. Like he said in the post-fight interview, he's fighting for his country. He's fighting for his martial art. He's he's a proud guy. I was fortunate to talk to this guy on Junkie last year. I think it was June or July. Just a class act, man. And when I left, like, workouts, the lineup was so long to take a picture of this guy. People love these guys, love them, man. So it was a really good fight for one guy, and I'm gutted for Carlos because I know it's almost over for him.
Yeah, and, I was stunned. takedown done, and I'm one of those guys who, since WEC days, I see Carlos Condit on the card, and I'm getting excited. And when there was that threat of him being or retiring, I thought no, right? I mean,
yeah.
He has more. So, man, my heart not only went out to Maya for such an emotional reaction, but I think he reacted that emotionally because he knew, I mean, what Condit could bring and what a big task that was. And then, my heart went way out to Condit to when he has comments like, do I even belong here? Kind of a thing. Of course you belong here. You got Damian Maia by Damian Maia. So, but I mean, who saw that coming? I didn't see it that fast is what I mean. Cause of course that would have happened. He gets the back, he jokes you out, but, I didn't see it coming that fast.
Yeah, it was stunning, and I was sad to hear Condit in the post-fight interview say that he's not sure if he can take a shot anymore. So that's hard to hear from a guy that's you really care about.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you, Nick. Do you think that, and because you talk about this so much in terms of people, right, that know the sport, and especially someone like you, right? Do you think Carlos just kind of gave up, or do you really think that he was hurt, like he said, and just because to my eyes, and mind you, I thought he was out for a second, and then I saw him tap, but I thought he was out. What do you think he gave up, Nick, or do you think that his heart's just not into it anymore?
When I saw the replay, well, I was watching it kind of live. It was kind of in the corner there, so I was watching between the awesome Jumbotron there and the ring. I thought he was gonna go to sleep, and then all of a sudden I saw him tap. So I don't know if he like went out for a second or two either and came back. I think he's a really proud guy, and I think he feels jilted that he never got to hold that belt. I know he got the interim belt. I think he's just a really proud guy, and he sees people around him. Look at where the guy trains, right? So I think he has a hard time walking in there because he's a really proud guy. But I think he just needs like one of those fucking wars where they go like three rounds, and he comes in. Hey, like Damian said, he thinks he beat the champ because he thinks he won that fight with Robbie back in January. So, there's a guy saying, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And a guy across from him says, I think that guy won that fight. So, it's tough business.
So, let's go into the Pettis versus Oliveira. I thought, and Nick and Dave, you may be with me on this. I thought Anthony Pettis looked so thin, and obviously all those jokes were out there on social media. And by the way, social media can be brutal at times. And I think, it's probably sometimes best just not to respond at all. Right. But, Anthony Pettis looked drained. Honestly, my wife kept saying, is that Sergio Pettis? That's how small he looked. And Charles, to me, I know that he is a bigger man that's going into the 145. And he's been at 145 now for a few fights, but I didn't think he looked as bad. What was your take on just the way Pettis looked, Nick?
I saw Pettis at the workouts on Thursday, and I was like, I don't know how he's going to make it because I'm not the biggest guy, but he didn't look – he looked still like he was going to fight at 155, so I don't know how these guys cut weight, man. This is crazy shit. I thought he was going to have a rough weight cut. I heard that he had a hard time with the last couple pounds. I don't know if he said that or where I got that from. Now, I stood beside Sergio. Sergio is like one aisle away from me, so there's a big difference between those two guys. But I know what you're saying. Charles looked unbelievable at the open workout, so I was a little worried for Pettis. And Most people around me thought he was actually losing that fight. So forget about the outcome for a second. The way he escaped, man, with that guy on his back like several times, it's unbelievable. And to come back and finish that guy, Jesus Christ, man, showtime, man. I love watching that guy just because, you know, he's got that look. He's Latino, man. It's unbelievable, man. I love watching that guy. And I just watched that fan. I wasn't really scoring. I was kind of listening to the people beside me. I just love watching guys like that. Really, really high level escape, throw knuckles at each other, kicks, man. I thought a couple of those body kicks really rocked those guys. So that was a really fun fight to watch.
Yeah, I actually tweeted out, adding to the social media, tweeted out a picture of a skeleton on the scale because, I mean, that's what he looked like. And, you know, I saw some posts Anthony made about he's getting back to where he was. Like, he just had to, and I was just getting so excited because what do I always think of with social or with Pettis is that kick, you know, and then he does the Showtime kick. And then the next we get is like some cage dynamics, you know, I think it was against Guida, you know, and he does these leaping on the cage and knees and you know what I mean? It's like, ooh, that's exciting. And then we haven't really had that since. So it's like, and then he's been losing, you know? So I thought, okay, he's going to come back and he's going to do something crazy. And, you know, he wasn't doing it and he was getting taken down and he was getting, like Nick said, just, you know, kind of tagged up and maybe losing and, you know, but yeah, he came back and he showed that resilience and, you know, he's got some skills. I thought he'd be able to shirk off any submissions and, I didn't think he'd be able to tap Oliveira. So that was surprising, but you know, I knew he had a ton of skills there. I thought he was gonna finish him with a kick of some kind, like the body kick or, you know, go up top. But yeah, no, that was a great win for him. But I keep wanting that off the cage Showtime kick so bad every time.
Yeah, I think now that he's got a win again, he might display some of that stuff. You could tell, like, I was like, oh, man, it looked like a couple times his tenor because he didn't want to get taken down off one of those kicks because, you know, that guy's a badass, Oliveira. So. But maybe now that he's got a win, maybe we're going to see some of that heroics again, you know, like ending fights. So we'll see what happens.
I was going to ask you about that, Nick. Do you think, I mean, were you surprised at the way it ended, guys? Because Dave and Nick, I got to be honest with you, I was shocked. I was rooting for Pettis just because three straight decision losses, and I actually thought he won the fight against Alvarez. But you know he was concussed, and I think he just completely lost. I mean, it wasn't even close with RDA, right? It was just a matter of him having a little bit of grit and staying alive. But Barbosa, Captain Barbosa, if you will, just I thought just took it to him. Anthony Pettis has been a shell of himself. But I thought he got a little bit of swag back, Nick. But I'm submission. Am I crazy? I know he submitted Bendo, but wow, I was shocked.
We were all surprised all around us. We were like, holy shit! Everybody was standing up. And by the way, that guy is a crowd favorite for a guy that's lost three in a row. I couldn't believe how many people. You know, he got a big pop like coming in, and also when he pulled that submission off, but. I don't think anybody around me was expecting that. They're expecting, you know, like we talked about earlier, some kind of, you know, display of, you know, a striking arsenal, not, you know, pulling guard and choking him out, man. Come on. Man. That was fucking crazy.
Yeah. And speaking of a pop, I mean, I could hear in Northern California the cheer for Paige VanZant when she kicked the damn head off of Beck Rawlings. I mean, people were freaking out where we were. I mean, just because I was surrounded around Team Alpha Male. I mean, that had to just have lit the night up, or, I mean, how did that feel?
It sure did. It sure did. Everybody hopped out of their seats, you know, jumped out of their seats. It was, I think most people in the building expected a fight like that. People love seeing girls throw down, man. Like, and that kind of finish, come on. That's fucking crazy, right? There's a huge pop in the building, man. blew the roof off. It was exciting. It was awesome. And people love that girl. Love her.
I was going to ask you about that, Nick, because looking at fight of the night, it was Miller, Lozon 2. We'll get into that after we finish up with PBZ and Rawlings. But performance of the night, Maya, right? But and PBZ did get it. But there was something different. You know, PBZ always comes out with a ton of energy. And obviously, you know, she kind of looks like a young Pamela Anderson to me. So she's clearly a very attractive young lady. But the one thing that I think that there's room for, and maybe she started this now, Nick, is the fact that, you know, Dave, when you look at the landscape of the women's fighting, it's kind of vanilla-ish in terms of, you know, we don't have that Showtime Pettis. We don't have that Yair Rodriguez. And I never thought that was part of PBZ's arsenal, but now seeing her fly around, do you guys think that it's going to be, you know, a few more people trying to do that? Because I thought it reminded me, honestly, of some of her dance routines on Dancing with the Stars. But when she landed that, Nick, I was like, good Lord. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was definitely – I expect – you know, obviously we've seen her fight a few times. I expect her to come out, you know, like guns a-blazing. But during, I think it was the first round, I could see she was holding back a little bit. You know, a loss to Rose will do that to you. But you could tell it's still there. You could tell she didn't want to lose again. And I think you could tell, like, she was scared of back striking, and she tried to not wade in too far. But to see that, you know, MMA is evolving. You know, people are throwing those kind of kicks, and the scoring's changing a little bit. We're seeing a few more 10-8s, and I think hopefully the last little while we're going to see more people trying stuff like that and not worrying about points.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that what did she try? She tried this like spinning roundhouse high kick, and you know, Rawlings kind of laughs at her, and you know, come on, bring it on, and you know, and then Paige comes back with that. I mean, I thought it was going to be Beck showing her boxing, showing her hands. She did catch Paige, not hard, but you know, showed her she's there. And then, man, of all the finishes in the world, I didn't think that was going to be it. But you stole my dancing line, Tony, and. But yeah, that was fun for sure. That was fun for sure, you know, and it was kind of interesting to see the wave done with cell phones where, oh, Paige got this win, and you saw like phones being shared around the cage, you know, as that happened because people were flipping out and excited. So it was super cool. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely it was a good fight. It was good placed on the card and got the people excited.
So Nick, let's go into the fight, the performance of the the fight of the night.
Let's do it, man.
Miller Lozon 2, son of a gun. I don't know if it was Goldberg or Brian Stan that said this, but let's book this on an annual basis. It's like, wow. I mean, these two guys put on a show. I mean, what was the building like? What was it like?
Everybody in the building was waiting for that fight because most people, obviously, in the building are fans, and they remember the first one. I personally didn't think they could live up to like the first. It's hard to replicate fights like that, but Jesus Christ, man, they came out. Joe walked right by me. I've never seen the guy so intense. You know, like not that I see him walk down that aisle, but I was like, holy shit, this guy means business, man. And Jim did too. They walked out. I knew it was going to be a good fight when I saw his eyes. And I thought the decision went the wrong way. I don't know anybody in the building that scored it that way. Tremendous fight. Those guys. Jim said it himself after. He loves that guy. You know, like he's a role model for his kids or whatever he said. It's hard to watch. You know, like same just like the main event. It's hard to watch one of those guys lose because they put it all on the table, man. And you know they train hard and you know they're proud. It's hard to watch a guy lose a fight like that.
Well, and it's hard too. Watching on TV versus where you're sitting, you had great seats, and you're right there seeing it. They do look different, and I was trying to put myself inside the arena and watching live, and from there, I felt like Joe did win, but I feel like watching on TV, you know, Jim seemed to have landed the harder shots more, and you know, the judges seem to be less apt to give you know, the ground game and the top position more. Like, there's no real system of who is dominating, even though I think Lauzon owned more of the ground, maybe. And so I can see why people feel like he got robbed, but, or maybe not even robbed. I don't know. It sounds like you're saying robbed, but yeah, I can see how Jim was giving it too.
Yeah, he, the harder strikes, you're probably right there. I think me and the people around me thought Joe controlled more of the fight, and therefore probably won. I think it was round two he lost. You know, Jim was landing pretty good on him. But, yeah, I'm with you with the harder strikes. But overall, like takedowns and controlling the match, I think people thought, based on precedence, you know, Joe would win that fight.
Mm. You know, I actually had it for Lauzon, too, and then we'll go into you know, Bochniak and Barzola, because I actually thought that was a rob. Well, you know what? Let's go into that now. We'll end it with Alvy Casey, but let's go into a Barzola Bochniak. Nick, did you think that was a rob? Because I had it straight up for Barzola.
Everybody in the building thought it was the other way. You know, I was like, holy shit, hopefully this isn't going to happen later on in the card, because that was early on in the fight. But when that got announced, everybody was like, what? Holy shit, man, no way. Everybody had that fight going the other way.
Yeah.
So did I
had it on mute. I watched it on mute, and I don't know. I wasn't overly focused on it for some – I don't know. So I actually can't give a very honest opinion.
I thought that was a pretty darn good fight. And so, Nick, everyone had it for Barzola in the building?
Everybody that I saw around me, and there's lots of boos raining down from the crowd when it got announced the other way. So, you know, I'm sure the other guy's a good guy. And, you know, he stood in there, but he was backing up more. The other guy controlled, you know, Barzola controlled the octagon, I thought, more time, landed the better shots. The other guy couldn't get in on him. He was scared of the counter strikes. And, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I want to be respectful of both of you guys' time, because I know that we're going into overtime a bit, but let's...
I got lots of time, man. No problem.
Oh, sweet. All right. I know that Dave is pressed for time, but let's go into Alvy Casey, guys. I had this all wrong. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, and I don't know if it's the whole Muhammad Ali thing. You know what? I think I don't value Sam Alvy, Smiling Sam, as much as I should. Because he's a powerhouse with that knockout power. And maybe because he's so easy going, guys, I don't know what it is, but I thought Casey would tag him somewhere down the line and then submit him. And Sam Alvy does it again, Nick.
He certainly did. You know, the beautiful thing about Sam and a whole bunch of guys in the UFC is you know exactly what they're going to do. You know, like Mark Hunt, they're going to walk you down, they're going to look for a shot, and if they hit you, it's over. And I didn't think Kevin Casey had a chance. Well, obviously everybody's got a chance going in there, but I've just seen Sam fight so many times. I didn't think Kevin had the endurance to outlast Sam finally hitting him. Unless, you know, like you say, Kevin got him early or something, maybe. But I thought it played out just everybody. Most people around me didn't think it would go out of the first round, let alone the first couple of minutes. So, but. He got him, man. He got him, and he got him good. And he was Smiling Sam. And big pop. Once again, big pop. He took advantage of the mic time. He didn't do all the regular bullshit. He wants the fight. He called people out. He thanked his wife. You know, it was awesome. That guy's awesome. We need more people like that guy.
I agree.
Yeah, like you said, you know what some fighters bring, and you know exactly what he's going to do, and I can't help but smile when he's there. I love when he's – at first I thought it was, like, kind of weird. I think I saw it first that the promotion skipping my brain. You guys are going to know it. But the other promotion that tried to do a tough thing, God.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's escaping me. It's going to – I'm going to be so pissed when we hang up. But – he was on, and I thought, that is really kind of odd, right? And then when you run into him later on, and you just see his KO power, and you just realize it's part of his personality. I mean, I'm really drawn to it, and I know he wants that KO. I want to see the KO. It's kind of funny that Tony jumps to the Muhammad Ali with Kevin Casey. I never even think about it until, Goldberg or Rogan or someone reminds me. But, yeah, I just always been thinking KO with Alvey, you know. And, it's funny because you want him to fight with ferocity. And, like, but when you see him throw, man, he's not smiling. So,
no.
he definitely throws with every bad intention he has in that body of his. But, fun to watch for sure. And so, good for him to get that KO.
Yep, he was calling out 205ers after. He just wants to throw down, make some money. So good for him.
Hell yeah.
So Nick, let's talk about. I know that Dave is a little pressed for time, so we have about 10 or 15 more minutes. Can we go into? Because you mentioned this, and obviously GSP. Still on the sideline, still a question mark, you guys. But, you know, Nick and Dave, we do have Rory now in Bellator. I thought that was huge, guys. I know that he's coming out after two losses and broken nose issues. But I thought that's a huge signing for a very talented fighter that still, although he's been in wars, guys, and as you can see, I'm playing Rocky in the background. As though he's been at wars, guys, I still think he's got game. What say you, Nick, about, you know, the move of McDonald to Bellator?
I thought it was pretty weird how, you know, he's signing with Bellator when, you know, 3 days in a row I'm at UFC events here. I was like, this is his hometown. His mom lives like half an hour from here. I think she owns a business somewhere on the valley here. I've heard him on local radio here. I know he gets a bad rap when he does interviews, but the guy's a really nice guy. He's got lots of game left. I was lucky enough after, first of all, you say about the losses, but look who he's lost to. Just the best of the best. That guy's still got a few years left. Yeah, he's taking some damage, but you're going to get some damage like that. I think it's a big loss for the UFC. Sad to see that guy go. And he brings an element that other people don't have, and I hope he's getting paid, and he's getting paid large by Bellator, because he deserved way more. Anybody would be jilted if those numbers are right after, you know, like wars like that he had with Robbie Lawler. I'll give you an example. After that fight he had in last July, I was in Vegas for that. I was standing in the airport. All of a sudden, I hear this massive applause. I was like. And a wheelchair comes in, and it's him and his girlfriend. She's wheeling him down in a wheelchair. I was like, holy shit, man. I'm going to be on the plane with Rory McDonald, man. This is fucking crazy. And we board the plane. Fuck, I'm sitting right in front of him. So I'm talking to this guy. I can't believe he's going home on a fucking commercial plane, man. This guy should be flown home after the damage he took. So, you know, fucking rights he feels jilted. This is fucking bullshit, man. Like, sitting with, you know, goofs like me, this guy should have a fucking private plane back home, man. This is bullshit, man. So if those numbers are right and what he got for that, you know, you'd be looking out for yourself too. I mean, I know he's got a young family and shit. So it's shit like that when I talk about that shit pisses me off, because those guys do not get paid enough for the entertainment they put on.
Did any coverage? Canadian local coverage cover, you know, Rory's move, or is that a thing that, you know, pops up on the radar?
We got a really good writer here, Spencer E. Kite. I talked to him, I think he was a little surprised too. I don't know if we talked about that, but he covers that stuff. I know he's covered him before, in this market. I don't know what the reports were. You know, I'd only be guessing, cause I didn't see any like local coverage pick it up.
Yeah. I just was wondering, you know, because, you know, here, even our local area, guy goes to UFC. I mean, maybe you hear a blip about it. You know, the Nate Diaz thing got huge coverage, but that's, you know, obviously what it was. But, yeah, you know, I was just always – I wonder about that, because it would then show, you know, more of, like, how, you know, Canada's behind their guy or – because you're right. I mean, they – what are they doing? They're treating him – you know, like they feel about him, and they're letting him go. There is that counter argument of the UFC's, and I don't have the list of you know, guys they did it to, but the track record of, you know, realizing, hey, it might be time. So it's so jacked up, though, where they use his body, they use his nose that will never be the same again. And then, you know, where's any sort of, you know, retribution or they just, yeah. So it feels cold and, you know, the business side of it I get, but there should be a warmness to it.
Yeah, it's too, and I don't know if it, me and you and, you know, we don't know what goes on backstage or, like I say, if the offer was tremendous, like really, really high, I could see the UFC passing, but you can't pass on a guy like that. This is, you know, wasn't too long ago where Dana was coming out and saying Canada's the biggest market in the world. And I live in a city when this sport was not doing very well in the mid-2000s, where I know for a fact Vancouver was one of the highest pay-per-view you know, buy units they got. So to pass on a guy that, you know, there's not many stars in this country, you know, complete bullshit, man. Unless, you know, like Bellator is paying him like $2 million a fight, which, you know, come on. I don't think that's happening either, but I'm sure they could have worked it out.
Hey, guys, as we're wrapping this up or we're getting close to wrapping it up, I want to bring up two other topics. I want to, you know, we always like to get to know, you know, our junkies, and especially a legend like Nick. I mean, I can honestly say, Nick, man, you make me smile every single time you call. You really do. But before we go into let's get to know Nick, right? Let's one thing, guys, if you allow me, Bendo's second fight at Bellator. I was a little disappointed about the first, but that guy Koreshkov is a monster. What do you guys think of how did Bendo look in it, you guys? Did you guys get to see that fight at all?
I've seen most of Bendo's fights. I didn't see that one in particular because I was busy working doing the UFC stuff up here. I've seen most of his fights. I've never been a big fan of Ben. I appreciate his skills. And, you know, just something about that guy rubs me the wrong way. So I'm neutral on his fights. I don't pick against him or pick for him or whatever. I just watch, and I just appreciate the talent he's got. He's just not one guy that I hold dear to my heart.
Yeah, I always have to watch Bellator through Twitter timeline because I'm on a delay for some reason. When they play on the West Coast live and fight live, they play the event 3 hours behind. So I'm usually watching some crackhead submit to temptation until they get to the fight. So, I know what happened, and, you know, reading and seeing people's frustration with his tentativeness and just the freak nature of, you know, a broken, what is it, a fibula, pitbull broke, and, you know, just Bellator being Bellator, unintentionally even, just that happens, and I don't know. It's frustrating because Bellator, they do have so many awesome stars. Let's hoist them up, or how can we get behind them more, or how can we not be on a delay on the coast we're broadcasting from? you know, just simple things, I feel. They could really bolster their promotion. I was just on a different note of the card. I was devastated or just so bombed at when Bubba Jenkins got knocked out. I just, you know, listening to the MMA Roasted podcast and just, I think he has such a neat story, and I thought he was on a comeback, you know, changing his nickname and just getting laid out like that against Karakanyan again. I don't know, I felt really bad for him, but, and he was
training, yeah, I heard that. I feel bad for him, for the guy myself. First thing Bellator's got to do is lose that name, because as soon as I hear that, I associate with the other guy, and I couldn't stand the other guy. So toss the name. I like Scott. Come up with something catchier, and, you know, they'll probably get some more fans or something like that. But any kind of association with Bellator, for me personally, I couldn't stand the first guy that ran that. So I get a negative connotation as soon as I hear the name anyways.
Hey, Nick, I just want to say, I sent this text to you, but I want to say it publicly. Man, you're good on the air. I mean, you really are good on the air when you have extended time. I mean, you're great on the air when when you have short amount of time, but darn, your personality really shines. And Proteus was texting, was tweeting about this, but I'll say it again. I am so envious of you taking pictures with Vanessa Hansen, Chrissy Brittany Palmer, The lovely Ariana. Oh, my gosh. But I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for blondes. I'm not going to lie. So Chrissy Blair to me. All apologies to, allegedly, to Lorenzo Fertitta. Your coverage, by the way, was tremendous. Your pictures, man, I'll tell you and Steve-O, the ability to be up close and do that, I am very happy for you guys. Envious scene, of course, a lot of stuff. But let's get to know Nick a little while. But, oh, I just saw a picture of you with Joe hanging out at the gathering July 10th last year. Way to go, Joe. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, as we wrap up, how'd you get into MMA, Nick? Tell me about your journey to MMA and, most importantly, your journey to the show that we love, Junkie.
My journey to the MMA world is much like you've heard. I belong in that classic category. A friend and I went down to Blockbusters, and you know the rest, man. Pick up the video. Holy shit, here we go, man. And I was a huge hockey fan before that. I was a huge wrestling fan, hockey fan. But as soon as UFC came out, holy shit, okay, let's go back, you know, and I think that was one or two. I'm pretty sure it was two. We went back, somehow got one, three, four, and off you go. And then it kind of died down for a bit. You know, we watched in bars, but, you know, it got harder to see. And, you know, at that time I was more into, like, race cars and smoking and drinking and chasing girls and stuff like that. So I fell out of, like, hardcore for a few years, and then and then I got back into it in the 2000s, and fuck, here we are, man. And then I was listening to some other shows like Gary Alexander and those kind of guys that are really raw shows and could barely hear it, like the recordings. And then one day I got the iPhone, and I was on the thing, and you know how it gives you suggestions for other. I was like, I'm an MMA junkie, man. What was it, a bunch of junkies or something like that? You know, what the fuck? So I downloaded an episode 5 minutes in. That was 2000 and I believe 10. And I think I've missed 5 shows since 2010, and that's only because iTunes doesn't, you know, there was a problem with iTunes or the recording or something like that. So I go way back with the guys. Absolutely love those guys. Like I say, 5 minutes in, I think Sean Tompkins, the late great Sean Tompkins, was on that episode. I believe that's correct, and I've been a fan ever since. 5 minutes in, I went down and met the guys in 2012. Oddly enough, I was there the week before one of their gatherings. Just charming fella. I can't tell you enough about Gozen George, man. I absolutely love those guys. I consider them friends, family. I've known people longer than them, and I don't hold them in as high as regard as those guys. I went back the following year, oddly enough, again the week before Junkie, and that was just a scheduling thing. I couldn't get that week off, but I went anyways because I love Vegas. And seriously, when those guys tell you that door is open, come on in. Those guys are not fucking bullshitting, man. You walk right in. Yeah, they're doing a show, but after that, I think we sat around one day for like maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, giggling about some past calls and callers and stuff like that. And, you know, he's telling me some stories. But we hit it off right away. Like I say, I'm not bullshitting when I consider those guys really close friends of mine. And I was 2014. I was unable to make it down there because I had planned another trip. I went down there last year. And I met the Junkies, man. Joe, man, I love that guy. A whole bunch of guys, you know. I'm not gonna say a whole bunch of names because I'm gonna hurt people's feelings. And
everyone, we love Junkies.
You know, but it was awesome. I can't tell you enough about those guys. I love those guys, the Junkies, Kendra and Mike, and you know, and George from Colorado. You know, Darius from New York. Just fuck the names. Go on and on and on. And when people call in and say, you know, like you just go down there. Fuck, I'm fucking serious. You walk in and it's like you've known those guys your whole life because the common thread is people like throwing people, you know, chuck knuckles, you know, and that's the bottom line.
Steve, you got anything?
Well, I'm not really a daily caller at all. I was sharing earlier before you were on. I listen the day behind all the time, and you know, I share the same passion with Junkie, you know, Nation that you just shared right there, Nick. And I appreciate your calls, and I really enjoyed talking with you for like Tony said, an extended period of time, because I like your calls. You know, you call in and you have a viewpoint, you have an opinion, you're not regurgitating everyone else's words of the day. And
well, I don't write shit down like some of those people, man. You know, I just call and say what's on my mind. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people have great calls, but you bring I like what you bring when you call in, and you're flexible also, and that's what I notice a lot of the junkie callers are. Very few aren't, and it's very few and far between. So, anyways, man, it's been I've really enjoyed just chatting with you. So, yeah, thanks
bro. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
You know who everybody loves. You know, and I held his name back purposely. You know who everybody loves in the comment thread. When you're one of those things, everybody's like, "Where's Hal?" Everybody loves Hal.
Hal, that guy. You know what? Shout out to Hal, because the one thing about it, he does a better me. I say this all the time, guys. He does a better me than me, and he did this thing on Friday with Joe and I. And again, shout out to Joe. You know, listen, all beef aside, he's a great guy, and hopefully we'll mend the fences. But I'll tell you, you know, there's something special about his impressions, and just, gosh, Hal is a little too good for his own good, guys. He is great,
yeah.
Isn't he? But when he calls, guys, I almost don't even want to call in, because it's like, he already did it for me. He does a better
meeting. Follow it.
Yeah, guys, let's close the show. Shout out to my boy, Nick, from Vancouver. I can honestly say it's a pleasure, Nick. Hopefully we'll get you back on, because I want to talk about your cruise and everything else. You're a great guy, man. And oh, I just dropped
anytime, man. I appreciate all the kind words anytime you need me on.
I just dropped a man. How about that? And shout out to a guy that I've been following for a long time, D Madden. So Dave Madden, follow Matt. Dave Madden, MMA, follow Nick. At, and Nick, I'm not even going to try to butcher your last name. I'm not going to try it, right? But shout out to follow Nick at Nico, NikoKam. Twitter follow of the week, guys. I'm going to give mine to Kendra. I love Kendra. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate the Junkie Nation support. I'm here to do my best to bring everything together. So my Twitter follow of the week, Kendra, at Nurse Kendra, at NURSEKINDRA. Nick, Twitter follow of the week.
Oh, man, Chrissy Blair.
Oh, darn it. Thanks a lot for giving me more jealous. And what's his Twitter handle? Does anyone know Chrissy's Twitter handle? I should know that by heart because I follow it. At underscore Blair, B-H-R-I-S-S-Y underscore Blair. Dave, Twitter follow of the week.
Man, mine's going out to Cowboy Cerrone. Just recently, I guess, Damon Smith posted that Robbie Lawler's been calling Dana White every day asking for a fight, and Cowboy Cerrone knows the guy. So let's
all
make
right,
it happen.
Let's do our close. I can't thank you both enough for this. Nick, let's do your close, your junkie close. Hit it.
Guys, have a great week. Appreciate the line.
Dave, do you have a junkie close?
I need to work on my closing, and that'll be next time.
All right, gentlemen. Shout out to Joe. Shout out to my boy, Proteus. Miss you guys. Shout out to Junkie Nation. GG Goes. Danny Okers. Automatic 253.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Hey.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.